This is CliffCentral.com.
Well, here he is, the better looking, taller Agola brother. We can let's give you some credit for a change. It must be really must suck sometimes to be Loiso's brother, huh?
Oh no, it's actually really good.
Don't give me that.
It's
crap.
So good,
Lazol. Now hang on a second. Dude. Okay. You are a very talented human being.
Oh, thank
you're
you.
I've seen you in action before. Stop you're funny it. As fuck. But the deal is, if you were anyone else's brother, let's say you were, you know, some nobody somewhere in South Africa's brother, you would be the star of your family. You've got this brother of yours. Between the two of you, you have to share the star.
No, but I am the star of my family because I'm the brother who doesn't have a drug problem, you know.
Wow.
So they're like, well, whatever.
I love it.
Family issues.
No, you know what? I'm being unkind. I love your brother too. So hang on. There are a couple of things that we wanted to talk to you about today. First of all, welcome. I don't think I've ever had you as a guest on the show, which is remiss of me. Because often I've said to Sia, you know, a book, and he would only hear the Gola part. And then again, you know, he'd do what most people would do.
Hi,
and go, oh, it must be Loiso. But here he is. You know Poppy, right?
I saw Poppy. Last time I saw Poppy, she was being an influencer, like the biggest influencer at an NBA game, a pre-NBA dinner.
Oh, very nice.
With like a new dress that she had never set her eyes on. Some designer just gave it to her. She wore it. It was fire, but she was influencing us. And I was like, fire. If I was female, I would have bought that dress. Actually, you know what? I would have identified as female just for that dress.
That sounds like a good deal.
Welcome, Les.
I don't think she's ever looked horrible in her life. She doesn't know what it's like to be ugly. She has no respect for those of us.
Must
who
be
look
nice.
Like shit.
Must be
so,
nice.
So, Lazola, you're busy with the Comics Choice Awards, right?
Yes.
So tell me what does it involve to be a writer for the Comics Choice Award?
Do you
have to make everybody else funny?
Gareth, head writer.
It's
not a big thing.
Everybody
it's just like
stop. Everybody stop what you're
I
doing.
I don't know. You know, you need to know. I'm not saying hierarchy is important.
The head writer of the Comics Choice
Awards. There we go. You don't go to the CEO of Vodacom to buy airtime. You know what I mean? There's different roles for different people. No, I'm joking.
So what do? You call the meetings.
I call the meetings.
You preside over the meetings of all these talented writers, and you say, you are good. You must go back to work. We'll use two of your jokes out of the 20 you've written. No. And you, sir, are a complete disgrace. Get out of my house.
No. I mean, there's great writers. I think, actually, two of them were on the roasts. Mm-hmm. Motebe and Camilo Salugi.
Okay. Yeah, smart then, guys. Very, very smart. We've got some very clever behind-the-scenes people. You know, a lot of these shows, people think that they just happen. People are working hard behind the scenes, and those writers, they get paid absolute nothing, right?
Hey, I'm not a writer. I'm a head writer, Gareth. Yes. I'm not in that.
This is why
anymore.
I'm saying you're in the big earning pool now. These poor writers, they're struggling. They half of them they don't even have they have an outside toilet.
No. Yeah, they don't. They don't even have it. I mean, they don't have data. They're not even listening to the show. They don't have a Wi-Fi situation.
Do they sometimes send you a please call me and then you have to call them back and then they tell you what their jokes are?
Yeah, but I don't call them back. I'm just like, wait for the meeting, dude. Like,
All right, so what does the head writer do? What do you?
There's a couple of us and we've got, we write in the Comics Choice Awards.
Mm-hmm.
It's different to the other Comics Choice because we're trying to write an actual cohesive story.
Right.
Whereas before it's been like sketches.
Right.
Awards and a sketch and then So now
you're trying to put it all together.
Trying to put it all together and make one story and it's
that's quite difficult because you're wrangling a lot of very different talent there as well, right? And you're creating material for people who are very, very different comedians.
Yeah.
And some of them aren't even comedians.
Some of them aren't even funny. No. Oh man, everyone's
Poppy
gonna hate
does
me.
Not think that's funny. Jesus, did you see her face now? She thought. Like,
I thought you were gonna name and shame people. I was scared for you.
No, judgy. No, we'll never. We'll
getting,
never. I will never.
Judgy.
I'll never fuck up my head writer situation right now. It's great.
You need the other comedians.
Yeah, it's it's great to be on top. No,
that's what she said.
Who do we have presenting this year? Are you allowed to say?
Do you know what, Gareth? I'm not involved in that, to be honest.
You don't even know who you're writing for. It could be for.
I'll be honest. One thing I'm really pushing for is it's a very, like, I'm trying to get PJ Powers there.
You've got an obsession with PJ Powers, right?
Why?
Tell me how this happened.
It's
she's not the kind of person who a lot of South Africans who are under the age of 40 are that. Yeah, I mean, they're people singing dance. Come on,
you were Jabulani, hey.
Hey, come on. I'm not gonna snitch on myself.
Tell me what. How did this PJ Powers obsession, and what a strange obsession to have.
That's why I loved it. Which I was just like, what is a weird crush to have.
Oh, so you made this up? I get you.
And then just ran with it. It started Tundeka. Ironically, and then now it's like a real thing. Now it's like
she's
everyone.
She's so great, though.
Do you have a picture of her on your phone?
Of course.
Is she
the wallpaper on your phone?
No, not wallpaper.
Have you been to one of her shows? You know she's still singing. She's out there doing her thing.
Writing books,
is it?
As well.
Yeah, yeah. She's got an. Listen, I'll tell you something.
She's not in jail.
No, come on. For a fan, that's a terrible thing to say.
I
think you got her mixed up with Lauryn Hill.
No, my whole thing online was free PJ Powers. Like, everyone was like, what's going on? And
does
I think,
she know that you're obsessed with her?
Actually, a good friend of mine, Robbie Collins, bumped into her recently. And he took like a picture, ironically, trying to send it to me.
Sure.
And then she was like, who's this for? What's going on?
And she was not impressed.
And then he was like, oh no, I've got a friend, Lazola. I was like, oh, I know that guy. It was like a bit of like a disappointed, like, yeah.
She knows you're full of shit is basically what
you're
saying.
She followed me on Twitter. That was one of my like accomplishments. And then she unfollowed me at some stage because she knew that, like, what the fuck's going on.
How did the arts festival go?
Oh, that was amazing.
First of all, do you like Grahamstown?
Oh, Grahamstown is a shithole, but.
Yes, agreed. No, that's why I'm asking.
Yeah.
Poppy's going to get upset about this, but I don't care.
Some of the best individuals come out of Makanda.
Yeah. But right. They come out of, it's a shithole. I mean,
I think
it's
mean Wakanda, and that doesn't really exist. Come on, tell me more.
Grahamstown's the best. Do you want names?
Grahamstown as in like the place?
I want to know, because I've been there, all right, once or twice. And the people there party hard, I'll give them that. They drink an awful lot because they're trying to numb the pain of being in Grahamstown. But it is a very, very small, very dull little place. Terrible weather.
You go there for school, guys.
The roads are a mess. Yeah, I know. I get that. Like, right? It's a good school, good university. I understand. But not like if Grahamstown fell into the sea, no one would go, we better build a new one.
No one will know for a week.
They just move the arts festival to whatever town is nearby. Butterworth or something then.
You put Grahamstown and Butterworth in the same thing. I'm done.
Sorry, King Williamstown.
Something.
No, guys. No. There's levels.
Hanky.
You're devving every single person that ever went to school in Grahamstown right now.
I am.
Yeah, but it's like.
What happens there? I mean, from the point of view of a performer, is it a. Because it's quite a privilege to be invited to the National Arts Festival, and, you know.
Yeah. Look, it's great to get to perform every day.
Mm-hmm.
Work on, like, the hour and just have fun and. Jump on stages. Just to jump on what you were saying.
With the material, do you change it daily a little bit? Or are you one of those people who's able to remember exactly what you need to do in your set? Or do you make it different because you get bored?
No, I mean, I'm still working. So I'm starting a new hour. Mm-hmm. And so Grahamstown was the perfect place to be like, okay, let's work. Let's try
to test
work.
Some material.
So I was figuring it out and... Every day I'd listen to my recordings and be like, okay, maybe just switch that and put that there. So it was a building fixing exercise. But yeah, the comedy was great. Still a shithole. Yeah, actually, we ended up at a random... Again, with Robbie Collins. I don't know if I should
this
say
this guy,
name
he's such a bad influence, this Robbie Collins. Whenever his name comes up, it's usually in association with something horrible
and
happening.
And he's such a nice guy.
He is a nice guy. But he's obviously a bad influence in the comic circuit.
Oh, is it? I'm not the first one to say, like...
No, that's what I've heard from people.
And then I woke up, Robbie Collins was there. No,
That's what Bill Cosby also said, ironically. He learned whatever he knows from Robbie Collins.
Well, I was sitting in the bar and suddenly I started feeling sleepy. And who should be there when I woke up in the bed? Robbie Collins.
Is that what he said to you? Told me that story.
No, I was just saying...
By the way, that sounds like a really unhealthy cough you've got going on.
Oh, yeah, it's from Grimstone. There was a day where I was just in a T-shirt and then it was just my whole life fucked up.
Oh, man.
But, so what's the thing is we ended up at a digs. We ended up at a weird student digs.
Oh, no.
And we're just like, oh, my God, this is how Grimstone people live.
Yeah. Was there a lot of weed? Come on, you can level with me. We're adults.
I mean...
Yeah. Just say yes.
Let's call it weed.
Sure. Oh, I get you. There was more dangerous stuff.
Me and Robbie were just kind of observing. Like,
mm-hmm. Sure. You didn't partake at all. Because it's so much fun to hang around with students. Yeah, I'm sure.
Students are the best. They are the future. They are the future of the country.
Yeah. What are you, mining them for material? Did you listen to their stupid conversations and develop a whole new half hour?
Yeah. You know, it's... Grahamstown has a way of developing its own material.
I'm on to you. You have opened up for Kagiso Lediga, Trevor Noah, Eugene Koza, David Kibuga, Stuart Taylor, and your brother Loyiso. Are any of them...
As funny?
No. Well, obviously you're going to say you're funnier, which I should hope you would say, because we need to be confident.
Yeah.
But are any of them... difficult? Do any of them say to you, look, don't do this, don't talk about that? Do any of them have prescribed rules, or do they just let you do your thing? None of them interfere with your act.
Everyone just does their thing.
Okay.
I mean, everyone encourages me to do my thing, and they're just like, just...
Because Poppy will back me up on this. When you're a DJ, if you're going to play the main set, you want to have all the very hot songs of the moment in your set.
Indeed. We don't like the douches that
There's always a douche who comes on in front of you who thinks they're going to play the big set of the night. And they're not being paid the same amount of money as you.
They're not even on the same level as you.
They're not on the poster. No one cares about them.
They can't even get into the club.
Right. And then they play all the good songs and you go, dude, what the hell?
So many times. Every single time.
So often you have to say to the people organizing the party, look, tell the stupid house DJ to keep their shit together and play some, you know, bubbling under stuff, and I'll come in and...
Because he's bubbling under.
Right. And with comedians, that obviously doesn't happen. Comedians, you don't tell each other what to say. You don't tell each other, hey, listen, you know, don't get too political because I'm going to do the politics stuff. Or maybe you say, I'm going to do a lot of relationship shit, so don't... you know, spoil the room by telling all your stories first.
Oh, yeah. No, not at all. I mean, you can't spoil a room. The opener is supposed to get everyone loose.
Oh, okay.
And also, a byproduct is also letting them just expand their way of thinking. So by going for different subjects and different subject matter and whatever, when the main guy comes, it's not a stretch for the imagination to be like, what? He's talking about religion. Because the opener has already...
So the opener, is it harder to be the opener, or is it the hardest job to be the one who, when everyone's drunk already? When is it tougher?
It's tougher, I don't know, they both...
I mean, do you get more nervous if you're the opener?
Yeah, because you're at the beginning of your... You're just like, this is everything.
You're the first person to test that audience, right?
Yeah, but you're like... But this is my whole career. If this doesn't work, you kind of amp it up. But really, an opener is just there to fucking fluff. It's to, you know, rank off the audience.
Marvel at you guys and your confidence to go up there in front of a crowd of people and they're saying, like, make me laugh. And you have to turn that into something. And you know some of the time it's not going to work. Oh. But you forgive yourselves, which is something many of us struggle with. I mean, a lot of people, if you didn't do... the best every time, and it's impossible to do the best every time, they would just quit. But you guys keep going. You have this, either it's a, like you're a psychopath, or you really enjoy the thrill of this challenge with the audience. Which one is it?
I want to say both, but yeah, it's, there gets a certain stage in your career when you realize it's not actually all up to you. Sometimes there are exterior factors that are out of your hands.
Like
everyone in the audience is poor and it's the end of the month.
No, but...
Throw money at them in your set somehow.
but there's moments where you can do the exact same set hours apart to different audience, but exactly the same wording, exactly the same thing.
And it's different.
But it's just, it could be something as small as lighting could be different, like something, lighting, audience members, the mic could be fucked up.
Mm-hmm.
Something, there's so many exterior factors outside of your set.
Right.
That could fuck up your set. And sometimes those things happen. Sometimes it's up to you. And you just go like, fuck it, I'll catch them the next time. And well, you, because you can't beat yourself up. You've got,
you don't have time.
You've got to be on stage right, the next day or an hour's time.
Absolutely. I think that's a pretty incredible thing. Do you think, I was talking to, which comedian was it I was speaking
Robbie
to?
Robbie Collins. It was probably
Robbie. No, it wasn't. Someone who's really been around a long time. It was Mark Lottering. And he was telling me, he thinks maybe we've now finally got to a point where we can say there are enough comedians. It's not like we've got a short supply. And he wasn't being like, you know, close the industry down or let's restrict membership. What he was saying is that comedy has got to a point in South Africa where there are a lot of people who can make a good living out of it. And it can be their entire life. It can be their job. But maybe that we're getting into the area now where there is an oversupply. Do you think that's true? It's very controversial.
I don't think that's true.
Okay.
But this, I'm always giving like on the fence answers. However.
That's all right. It's because you're a thinker. You're not a moron who just goes black or white. Okay. Yeah.
There are pockets in comedy that people are not exploring. So comedy as comedian, stand-up comedy is saturated.
Yeah.
But I think like it's better for the industry. However, there are things like, there are writers.
Yes.
There's people who you can make content. Like if you're not a good performer, but your mind is still like, just be an online, but like be serious about, I'm very funny.
Right.
Online.
And do videos or let's do a podcast or let's do interesting shit around
like,
that.
There it is still like an infancy. Yeah. And so it's like, it's still at the, and like, these the guys, pioneers are the ones who are killing it.
They've got the talent, right? And they can make it work almost anywhere. It doesn't matter what the format is.
You can
is.
Do anything. I mean, I've been in and out of advertising. Never went to AAA at all. Just going for a project purely because of comedy.
Yeah.
So every comedian has some sort of writing ability or at least some sort of conceptual weird. And like that is gold for anyone who wants to create content on any platform for anything.
Often do you guys critique each other?
Every day.
And do you critique each other across the board or do you only critique the people that you're friends with that you know are going to be cool with your criticism?
Yeah, because you could speak to some comics and they're not going to be pleased.
And they were, yeah.
Yeah, it's usually
who the hell are you?
People who you're friends with.
Okay.
Because because it's still like like coming off stage, you come from a very vulnerable place and then you don't want to be like, oh, that was shit. And, you know, you're going to destroy a person. But comedians critique each other all the time. Like, but in a good place. Like, not critique. It's like giving notes to better that joke.
Can you be totally honest with each other? Because it can get very sensitive.
Yeah, the people that you are closer with. Because you still want to... You know, let people, I mean...
But they are, look, they're your friends, I understand that, but they also are sometimes your competition. Not necessarily that you're competing with each other, but the audience compare you to each other, whether you like it or not.
Mm.
The audience will go, oh, well, Lazola's very funny, but, you know, one of his friends not so funny. And then your friend's going to feel shit. That's how the audience say things anyway.
Yeah.
So you've got to be realistic about that. And there might be some insecurity for some people around this stuff.
Yeah, I mean, definitely. I mean, it's a big thing, but why am I involved? Like, you need to sort out your own self-esteem.
Right. But I'm saying when it comes to feedback, like Poppy was asking.
Yeah, but so...
Because who can you trust? Like, you, some people you can't trust.
Okay. I'm just saying there's people where I'm like, that is... I would want to give feedback, but I can't.
Okay.
Because I feel like they'll take it too personally or think, like overthink it or do something weird with it.
Okay.
Whereas there are people who I'm kind of close with, Robbie Collins. Yes. I'm just going to mention his name. Maybe. Sure. But yeah, there's really like close friends of mine. Even my brother, he came to see me in Grahamstown. He was there as well. Gave me like a good 15-minute, 20-minute not a critique, but like notes taking like, hey, when you do this and this and this and this.
And
this
you're
and
not
this.
Threatened by that.
No, that makes the show better. That's like, that's an assistant coach going.
That's great.
Yo, how you tackle like that is not how you
I see.
Maybe tackle like, you know.
So you use the word coach. That's impressive because I suppose that's what it feels like, right? You've got a first grade coach. You happen to be related to this coach in particular that we're talking about now. And when he tells you this stuff, he's telling you in a loving way. He's not trying to undermine you.
Yeah.
And for some of your very close friends, it would be the same. I get you. All right. Now you've helped me understand that because I sometimes think, you know, there are some industries where people are so competitive that they will actually sabotage each other.
And also, we've been exposed to such terrible comedy a lot of the time. You're just like, where are your friends? Like, do you not come off the stage and say, brah, but... What was that?
It's such an awkward, like when someone dies on stage, it's such an awkward, like no one makes eye contact.
You see now.
People try to like high five and we were like, ooh, well, let me see what's on Mixit.
I got a nice photo of you while they were clapping, the only time they were clapping.
Dude, is it still like a party backstage? Is it still a scene where you all hang out together, where you'll do stuff? Or is it very serious now? Because you think about guys like Trevor, who really, I remember he was always very serious about comedy. He didn't drink. He was already vegan and vegetarian long before any of us thought it was cool. He worked super hard. He didn't hang around afterwards and, you know, sit and kick shit around with the guys. Is it very serious now? Is it so competitive? Because there are only so many people who can really be a big deal. And maybe people are competing for those positions and they're taking the comedy job seriously. Before, it used to be a bit of a party as well. You'd be hanging with your friends who were as funny as you are and you'd all be having a good time.
Yeah, but hanging out with my comedy mates after a show or during a show is part of it's the best part of the night sometimes.
Is it almost preparation as well because you get more material out of that material?
No, but we seem like all like, wow, let's get drunk. But we're like comedy geeks.
Yeah.
And so like, unlike a lot of other artists, we get to talk about our art form straight after it happened.
Yeah.
With other comedians who were there. So like an author is like in a basement for like a year.
Yeah.
You know, and they just, and like comedians, it's like, dude. You see when the comedian, like when something didn't like happen, this is what I think about it. Or like, oh man, that was so funny. Imagine if you, remember when, said, like it's just like
it almost seems
weird comedy, geeky orgy of the mind.
I like that. It's almost like a mind meld, like a brain, a think tank almost, you know?
But like it happens so organically. It's not like what is next on the agenda. It's just like, you know, people are just hanging out and that always comes up. And I I used to get into trouble with my ex-girlfriend now.
Oh, well, I'm sorry about that.
You know,
she break up with you or you break up with her?
You know what? I don't want to talk about
it. I want to talk about it.
This relationship escalated very quickly on social media. I'm just saying.
My relationship?
Yeah.
Oof. Wow.
What happened? Who broke up with who?
No one broke up. It was a mutual...
Conscious uncoupling, like Gwyneth Paltrow.
There we go.
Yeah, sure. You got kicked to the curb, didn't you?
No, no. I mean, it was, Poppy will tell you all about it. It's on social media.
Go on, Poppy. Let's talk to each other like he's not here for a second. Fill me
firstly,
in.
Firstly, schoolboy era. You post one photo and you leave your feed without it for about 2 months. You don't now post, geez, I followed you around the world with this girl. Like around South Africa. No. Let me just give you tips on how to like keep the bay by helping you not social media her 24/7, 365. You cock blocked yourself.
Ooh. So,
well, not via me. I'm just saying, like, no, girls don't like to see that stuff. We don't want to see with my girlfriend. There's a mountain. No.
But
you're getting some tips here, my friend. You better be listening.
We don't care, especially if you're not married. Ooh. If you're married, I'd be like, okay, cheers, he's off the market. But now you're still like, really, we can tell you want to get out. We're trying to help you get out.
You can tell that.
But you're not helping yourself get out.
There's something in his eyes that is like, this is
Poppy's
not
laying
real.
It on thick.
I'm just saying, I get annoyed with people that have so much to give that just don't want to give.
Sure.
So that
talk about feedback.
Yeah, that
you didn't know you were coming
here for
this
morning.
Oh my god!
That was how to cheat by Poppy.
Sure, unbelievable.
You're like, okay, so I shouldn't have posted as much as I posted with my girlfriend at the time. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah.
Yes, because it was so like it was just the beginning of the relationship. Hmm?
So my biggest problem was how do I. Do I make like an announcement? I feel like there should be a press release on my Instagram to say like, I've broken up with this person.
Here's what you,
is it still the same sentiment?
Nobody's
that Poppy
business. Nobody's business. But if they ask, you decide, do I want to tell this person or do I not?
Fair.
That's the way I handle all of that stuff. I'm not going to tell you everything because I don't know who the hell you are. You might be some sick pervert who's going to be, you know, playing with yourself, thinking about this.
Hey, look, I'm open for anything right now. I'm single.
I'm happy. but if you are going to tell and you decide, okay, I'm going to share with this person, then you tell them.
Also, just post a lot of self-love stuff and we'll get the point.
Mm-hmm. Self-love?
Yes.
But I don't want to, sound like a soppy, like, oh, I'm trying to work on myself. Now I'm coming back because I was in a slump. I'm like, you know,
But does it affect your comedy when you're in a relationship or you just break up with someone?
Because I was saying something about that's how this came up before.
I interrupted you.
And no, Poppy gave us the cheating Dr. Phil thing.
I wasn't saying.
Oh yes, it was but Poppy, you were saying cheat. You're like, look, bro, you with your girlfriend. Why are you always with your girlfriend on the things? And telling everyone you're with your girlfriend when you're actually not married to your girlfriend. I was like, that is the biggest cheating sub.
All right, but we...
Anyways,
let's digress. Yes. So I asked you about whether it affects your comedy.
It definitely does. You know, small things though. It's like hanging out, having that whole comedy mind orgy after a show. Mm-hmm. It always feels like a jam. I'm always having to explain myself, like, not always happening. She wasn't a nagging person, but it was just like, you can't explain. like, I was hanging out with my friends talking comedy. Like,
yeah.
You sound
she
like.
She thinks you're out having a massive party without her. I get
you. Just like, what? No. It's work.
You should not feel guilty about being single, and you should not, if you're in a relationship where you care about each other, you should not have to explain away everything as if there's someone cheating on someone. Otherwise, you're in the wrong relationship.
There we go.
It seems, you see, I can say this because I'm not in one. It would be so much harder if I had my own.
Poppy, are you in one?
No.
Whoa, that laugh. That was like a...
she
not as far as I know.
She's given up on state capture for the moment.
I'm not trying to be captured by nobody in any state.
Wow. All right, so when's the Comics Choice Award?
Comics Choice Awards on the 8th of September.
All right, so you got a little bit of time still to prepare.
Yeah, I mean, I'm going to a writer's meeting because I'm the head writer. What? No.
Can you really have meetings this early?
Yeah.
Most of the guys probably only wake up at 11, right?
Yeah, I'll be honest with you, I haven't slept. That was the foolproof way of like getting here.
Where were you last night?
Watched the semi-final.
Oh, okay.
And then... it was quite late, and then I went to Brum, the inner city.
Okay, so you were partying like a monster last night. Okay,
oh, yeah.
I get you.
Oh yeah, but
good man.
But
you should.
But of course.
Why not?
But of course.
So we've got the Comics Choice Awards coming up, and where can people see you doing your stand-up?
People can. Oof. I'm gonna take a little bit of a break. Just all coming right. back from Grahamstown, just being like, rah. But I will be at. There's a new venue. It's in Bramfontein, underneath the Bannister, on the 26th of July.
All right.
It's a Xhosa night. I'm gonna be speaking English, all but right. I am Xhosa, sure. so okay. I'm
so you're
on the
allowed.
Lineup. Yeah.
Got you.
But yeah, that's gonna be my only gig in the.
Why don't you go in and be really controversial and speak Zulu on Xhosa night? Yo.
Did you say that on my in my trick? Me and my friend, I don't know, we just didn't give a fuck. But yeah. for our Xhosa oral exam, we went like an invigilator. Someone from like the government came through, and like me and him spoke Afrikaans, and like didn't understand. Like when she said like, "What are you guys doing?" We were like, "What say?" Hey? Like we were just. We were just pretending that we were Afrikaans people, and it fucked with her, fucked with our mark, obviously. But
yes, you failed. You failed. How embarrassing. Lazola, nice to see you, dude. It's always good to catch up. And
Thank you so much for having me.
Yeah, it's a pleasure. Now, you can go and relax just before your writer's meeting, and you let us know when the Comics Choice Awards are ready for us to watch, all right?
Ooh, 8th of September.
We want those writers working hard. I want you to slave drive these guys. All right. I want them all churning out the funniest shit they've ever done. And if it isn't fresh out of the oven come September, cancel the show.
You know, I have the authority to do that.
There we go.
So.
You see, you have the power. All right, man. Thanks very much for coming to see us. Jeez. La Zola Gola, everybody. And don't miss the Comics Choice Awards in September.
This is CliffCentral.com.